Apostle Daniel earlier in his prayer said, "This world is not perfect. This world is always full of wars, strifes, conflicts. And we as Christians, we are called to be peacemakers. But we know it is not always easy to make peace. In order to make peace, we need to reconcile man to man. And this evening, I'd like to share with you this letter of Paul's, letter to Philemon. First, I'd like to share with you the background there, maybe around these three major figures in the background of this letter. Certainly, first, the author, Apostle Paul, we know. But here, he was writing this epistle from Roman prison. So we know in the New Testament we have four epistles called prison epistles by Paul. And the first three are Ephesians and Philippians and Colossians. And this one is a bit different than the other three. This is an epistle addressed to a particular individual, Philemon. Paul was in prison. Why? For the gospel's sake. He preached the gospel of Christ. That's why he was persecuted and put into prison. And there he wrote this letter. And the letter was addressed to Philemon. Philemon most likely was a wealthy man. He was a man in Colossae, the city there in Asia Minor. And he was probably converted because of Paul's preaching of the gospel in one of Paul's missionary trips. And then he also, even from the details of this epistle, opened up his house to have a church house, a house church there in his home. And then the third figure in this epistle is Onesimus. He was a runaway slave. He was a bond servant of Philemon, basically a slave. But for some reason, we don't know, for some unknown reasons, Onesimus ran away from his master. And he somehow went to Rome, somehow end up in Roman prison and met Paul. And Paul shared the gospel of Christ with him. And Onesimus became a believer and was saved by Paul. And now Paul wrote this letter and sent Onesimus back to his master and asked Philemon to receive his runaway slave, Onesimus. We know this is quite simple, a background there. And then the letter is quite brief comparing to other epistles. In 25 verses, we have basically four parts. Verses 1 through 3 is greeting, Paul's greetings to Philemon and some other people. And then verse 4 to 7, Paul gave thanks to God. And then the major part is the third part, verses 8 through 20. Paul basically appealed to Philemon to receive Onesimus. And the end part, verses 21 to 25, is benediction, as Euro Paul will give blessings or greetings or benediction to his recipient. In the first part, Paul said, "Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus, and Timothy, my brother, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved fellow worker." It is interesting here, even though this is a personal letter. In his opening of the letter, he said to Philemon, but not only Philemon. And verse 2 said, also to Apphia, most likely Philemon's wife, our sister, and Archippus, our fellow soldiers. Most likely Archippus is the pastor of that house church. Someone said maybe that's Philemon's son. We don't know. But also, not only to these three people, and the church in your house. We saw this supposed to be an individual, a personal letter. But Paul said, to Philemon, but also to the church in your house. We think what Paul was written in this epistle is kind of a personal issue, to ask Philemon forgive or receive or accept Onesimus. But you see, this is not simply a personal issue. In our culture, we appreciate personal privacy. Privacy is something big, huge here in this culture. But sometimes in your family, sometimes in the church setting, when people have trouble with people, consider dad and mom has some issues. The children feel the tension, right? So even though this is a letter addressed to Philemon, a personal letter, but the issue in this letter Paul mentioned is not just a personal issue. When we consider in a church setting, when brothers have issue with another brother or sister, it's not just an individual, personal, or private issue. It's also an issue for the church. The second part of this letter we read in verse 4 to 7, basically Paul gave thanks to God for Philemon's love and faith toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints. And also in verse 6, he said, I pray for you. I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. This is a little bit complicated verse, even in the original language. It's hard to figure out or clarify what Paul was saying here. He said, the sharing of your faith. Maybe he refers to the evangelistic work, or maybe his work of love. He said, I pray, I hope that the sharing of your faith may become effective in the way that the full knowledge of all the good works in us, or another version that in you, is for the sake of Christ. Even though this is a little bit complicated, but we understand here what Paul said, your good works, let other people know that your faith and your love and the good work flowing from your faith and love is for the sake of Christ, or is in Christ, or is by Christ. It's not simply just your own work. It's not simply just for you yourself, but for Christ, for God. I like to then focus on the tension on the third part, how Paul plead or appeal to Philemon, verses 8 to 20. In this part, we can divide it into four major concepts or major things. The first thing is how Apostle Paul appealed to Philemon. Or we say this is the way he asked, the way he begged Philemon. And then the object or to whom Philemon plead for. And then thirdly, the aim or goal, what he is pleading for. And then fourthly, the basis or why or the reason why Paul could appeal to Philemon to accept this runaway slave. First, we see here, Paul said, even though I am bold enough in Christ to command you to do what is required or what is proper, yet for love's sake, I prefer to appeal to you. So here is the contrast. He could command. He said, I am the foreign or Gentile great apostle. I can command you because I led you to Christ. You are spiritually, say, my child. I command you. Paul said, I do not want to command you, but rather I appeal to you. I plead with you I ask you, I beg you. Paul is not commanding Philemon to do anything. We see here Paul use a tender way rather than boldly say, I command you. Also, he said, for love's sake. So that's a lovingly way, a loving way, right? Paul tenderly, lovingly, not in the place of a great apostle, but rather he said, I am old. I am in prison. Humanly speaking, people will despise me. I would rather humbly beg you, plead with you. So we think maybe this is the way that we should when we ask something from other people, especially in this case, this is a hard case. But the reason that Paul appealed to Philemon rather than command Philemon, there is a background there. Because he is asking for something that Philemon could say no. Because this is a runaway slave according to Roman law. We can check all those ancient doctrines, all ancient documents. According to many scholars, this is a death case. His master has all authority to kill him. Because slaves, bond servants, is basically their personal property. By running away, Onesimus not only destroy or damage or hurt the property of Philemon, but also revive or also disobedient to his master, to brought shame to his master. So the reason Paul appealed, not only because Paul is a tender, a loving apostle, but because there is something here. We say the Bible doesn't simply say, oh, God is love. Let's just forgive whatever. Yes, our God is love, but our God is also a righteous God. The Bible clearly teaches us righteousness, justice. There is always a place for we to say, to claim justice. We need justice. This is the runaway slave he owned to his master. We do not know what happened. We thought maybe this is just a simple case, a poor case. This poor slave was struggled, he could not bear anymore, so he ran away. In our contemporary culture, we think he's pitiful. But we don't know what he did harm to his master. It is easy for us often to say, it's okay, don't worry, I forgive. But what if something serious happened? What if some huge damage caused upon you? It's not simply because Paul has relationship with Philemon, said because we are good friends, we are partners. Forgive this, your brother. Yes, we are supposed to forgive, but how about justice? How about God's justice? We need acknowledge the justice here. And then secondly, we should consider whom Apostle Paul was pleading for. We know Onesimus, yes, Onesimus. His name means usefulness or benefit. He was a runaway slave. How Paul introduced Onesimus? Philemon knew who Onesimus is. But Paul said, I appeal to you for my child. This word child means little kid. Little kid in the family setting. He is my little kid, my son. Onesimus, whose father I became in my imprisonment, or whom I begotten in my bond. I, Paul, as an apostle of gospel Christ, I strive to bring sinners to Christ. I was persecuted. I was in prison. I was not allowed to preach gospel yet. God, bring this poor sinner to me. And I brought him to Christ. And Paul said, him whom I begotten in my bond, in my imprisonment. Formerly he was useless for you, but now he's useful to both you and me. As I said, the name Onesimus means benefit or usefulness. But notice here in verse 12, Paul said, I am sending him back to you, sending my very heart. Notice this word, my very heart. English, two words, but in Greek it's one word, my very heart. This is a very interesting word. It's not a common word for heart. Normally, we would expect in Greek text, cardia, which we get cardiology from, right? But this word is not cardia, the heart, but very heart. In Greek is splakakano. In the Bible, in the New Testament, 9 times, 3 times here in this epistle. Verse 7, he said, because the hearts of the saints, splakakano. Verse 12, my very heart, splakakano. And then verse 20, refresh my heart in Christ, splakakano. 3 times. This is a very special word in Greek. If we check other appearance in the New Testament, there's 4 times talking about tender mercy, compassion, affection, or love. But there's one occasion clearly telling us, which is in Acts chapter 1, verse 18, talking about Judas. We know Judas, he died after betrayed Jesus. We read there in Acts, the word said, all his bowels gushed out. Bowels, B-O-W-E-L, bowels, intestine. The inner part, physically speaking, that's the inner part of a person. Paul said, this is my very heart, my intestine, my bowels. This is like the baby I hold in my arms, like a new parent holding that new precious baby close to my heart. This is my very heart. Paul said, yes, we know justice is so important, but I'm appealing to you, Philemon, for the love's sake, because I love Onesimus. Not because Onesimus is a marvelous, godly guy. He was a sinner. He was a runaway slave. Yes, he deserved punishment, even death. Yet, in my imprisonment, I led him to Christ. And he received that new life in Christ. He became my spiritual son, like that new baby in my arms, my very heart. It's like a gada. Yes, this is my very heart. I appeal to you for my child, for my son, for my little kid, for the apple of my eye. He's pleading for the love's sake. And then suddenly we see what he pleads for, what he appeals. It seems easy, right? He just wants to bring back Onesimus to Philemon. But here we read in a few verses, verse 13 and following, Paul said, I want you to receive him. If you regard me as your partner, receive him, just as you receive me. The word receive certainly is a key word here. Receive means accept, welcome back him. But Paul said, I want you to receive him willingly, with your own accord, not by compulsion, not because people will say, oh, because you're Christian, you're supposed to forgive and accept those who offend you. I want you to receive him willingly, without any compulsion, without any struggle. I want you to receive him dearly, not simply as a bond servant slave like in the past, but also as a brother, a dear brother in the Lord. And not only you should receive him willingly, dearly, but completely, fully, that you would not only regard him as a brother for now, but forever. Forever, he said in verse 15, that you might have him back forever. Forever, never lose him again, because you are now brothers in the Lord, and you should receive him. By receiving, we assume Philemon will forgive all the wrongdoings of Onesimus. Without forgive, how can you accept? How can you imagine he will receive him? So when we have troubles between two parties, when the relation was broken, you need first get people to be forgiven. And then not only forgiven. Oftentimes we found ourselves in the situation and we say, okay, let's time heals. Let me forget, forgive. But that's it. It might be easy to just say no. Okay, let's forget it. I forgive. But how about receive him back to as a brother? It's like a glass mirror broken into pieces. To simply put it back doesn't mean reconciliation. To put it back, you need to become one. Not many different mirrors in pieces, but one mirror. To put it back, to receive him as a dear brother forever. This is what Paul asked. And then firstly, we see on what basis Paul asked. Paul didn't say because of love, because I am your partner, because I am a great apostle. He said, if he wronged you at all, or owns you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, write this with my own hand, I will repay it. See, Paul here is not simply say, okay, remember I will repay. He said, whatever he wronged you at all, everything he wronged you, whatever way he wronged you, whatever you listed, or anything he owns you, whether money or property, anything. Paul is to pay the price fully, not just partly, fully. Paul is to pay there. Surely, he said, here, I sign it. I sign on this letter. Maybe this letter was not written by Paul's hand. Paul just dictated the letter, and then he read here, he said, here's my name, my signature. You can take it to the bank to cash it. I write with my own hand. Paul make promise. But then we see here Paul also completely, fully make this promise. He said, charge his debt to my account. This is substitution. This is substitution. He said, not say or say nothing of your owning me, even your own self. It's not that Paul tried to mention you also own me, so let's settle this. He said, don't worry about how you own me. That's another thing. Don't mention that. But let me deal with you about Onesimus' debts. I will pay any penny he owns to you. This is Paul's basis of his appealing. He appealed to Philemon and said, I will pay whatever he wronged you, whatever he owns you. I will fully, completely, substitutionally pay back the price. And then by verse 20, Paul summarized his pleading. He said, yes, brother, I want some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Refresh my heart in Christ. Refresh means relief. Give me a relax or rest, because this is a burden on my heart. This is a burden also on your heart. Refresh my heart. Refresh my heart. Where? In Christ. I want some benefit from you. Where? In the Lord. Paul is not simply pleading with Philemon by himself. He said, refresh my heart. Give me some benefit in the Lord, in Christ Jesus. It is in Christ, in the Lord, we can have the true, final, complete, absolute reconciliation and peace. Without in Christ, outside of Christ, maybe Paul was eloquent, maybe Paul has his authority, maybe Paul can do all that he can to pay back the debt, but there won't be true reconciliation. The true ultimate reconciliation only in Christ Jesus. If we do not have that reconciliation with God first, we cannot reconcile with one another by ourselves. We have all the troubles, strifes, conflicts because we are sinners. It is because of sin. Adam and Eve were separated from God. The relation between Adam and God was broken because of sin, because of that rebellious act he did in the garden. It's not that God pushed him out, but he did not want God in his world, in his life. He disobeyed God's command. He did not want to listen to God. And that sin separated himself from God. But when the sinner was separated from God, there are separations, there are troubles, there are wars, even from that very family. Even between Adam and Eve, there is strifes. Even between their two boys, Cain and Abel, there is even killing. Until this very day, you look around this world, you think maybe we can have all the ability to reach out a peace agreement to cause the fire seas in the Middle East. Yes, it could be done, but tomorrow there will be new wars. There will be new conflicts. There is always wars and conflicts in this world. That's why God sent his Son into this world, to resolve the fundamental, the deepest problem, that our relationship with God was broken. If we do not respect God, how can you expect I will truly respect you? We have to be reconciled back to God. So God sent his very Son, Jesus Christ, to be the mediator between God and man. And our Lord Jesus, he is very God and very man. But he can do that, not simply because his very nature of his deity and humanity, but because of his accomplished work on the cross. And there on the cross, our Lord shed his blood for all the sinners, God chosen in Christ Jesus. Just like Paul said, I will pay whatever he wronged you, I will pay anything, every penny I will pay. So we see there on the cross, the blood of Jesus Christ. Pay the price for you and for me. The blood of Jesus pay the price of every sin I committed. Every sin I committed. That is to fulfill the righteousness of God. We have to acknowledge God is righteous, and justice needs to be acknowledged. That's why we see even God, when his son, his beloved son, he didn't spare him. He along his only begotten son, the one whom he pleased with, he along him to die in a terrible death because of justice, because of righteousness of God. He shed his blood for our sin. Not only shed our blood and pay the price, but also to appease God's holy wrath. His blood was spilled, was poured out upon the altar to appease God's wrath. The righteous justice of God's wrath. That wrath was toward you and me. That wrath was toward all the sinners. Because of the blood of Christ, the wrath of God was appeased. That's why we can come back to God in Christ Jesus. That's why God, when he turned away his face away from Jesus, and Jesus said, "Father, forgive." He pleaded with God the Father, "Forgive, O Lord. Forgive, Father, because I paid the price." But not only we see on the cross, this part, Christ needs to deal with our sin, the punishment, the consequence, the ugliness of sin. But also, he did that wonderful work of atonement. Atonement in English means at one, to bring us back to God. He not simply asked God to forgive us and leave us, but he bring us back to the Father. That's why we see when he died on the cross, the curtain in the temple was torn and the way to God was opened in Christ Jesus. And we see there not only our Savior died, but also he resurrected on the third day. If we only have one half of the cross, that's not gospel. We have to have the other half of the gospel, resurrection. In that resurrection, God vindicated his son. By vindicating his own son, God proclaimed forgiveness. That's why in Christ Jesus, we are brought back to God and all our sins has been forgiven and we can be justified in Christ Jesus. We are no longer sinners in God's eyes. Yes, we still commit sin, but in God's eyes, he saw his son, Jesus, no longer us. So we are justified or counted as righteous. But praise God, not only we are free from judgment, but he also, in Christ Jesus, reconciled us back to God. This is called propitiation, to rebuild our relationship with God. And we are one with God. But not only in the common, the general relationship, and we are not only justified, reconciled, but even adopted into that dear relationship of Father and sons. That dear relationship is so precious to us. We need that, just as Onesimus was no longer simply a slave, but dear brothers to Philemon. We are no longer just creatures of God. We are no longer servants of God. We are children of God in Christ Jesus. This is what our Lord Jesus, our Savior, has accomplished on the cross. This is the power of the cross. This is the beauty of that cross of Christ. We can imagine, Apostle Paul wrote this letter to Philemon. He said, "Brother, I want some benefit from you in the Lord Christ Jesus. Refresh my heart in Christ, in your Savior Christ. Refresh my heart." This is not simply a letter written by Apostle Paul, but the Holy Spirit, the very Spirit of Christ, all we can say is Christ writing and speaking to Philemon. When Philemon read this letter, it is just like our Lord Jesus spoken to him. Yes, Philemon, you have a ground to not forgive because this Onesimus offended you. But because of love, he is my very heart. He is so dear to me because I shed my blood for him. I died that he may have a new life. Now he is alive. He is regenerated on the cross, through the cross of Christ. Now he's a new person. I bring back him to you that you may receive him, that you may reconcile this relationship with him. Yes, Onesimus is a sinner like this, but Philemon, you also was a sinner, was away, far, far away from God. And you also offended many other people in this world. I, Christ Jesus, paid all the price for you, Philemon. And I plead with all your debtors that they may also receive you. And now, refresh my heart. Philemon, come to me and come to your brother, this new one in Christ. I can imagine when Philemon read this letter, facing his runaway slave, he would break into tears. He would embrace Onesimus and praise God and give glory to God for such a wonderful salvation. Humanly speaking, it's impossible. It's impossible to be reconciled like this, become totally, completely, perfectly one in Christ. Today, do you struggle with any of those relational problems? Do you have tensions in your families, in your marriages, in your workplaces, even in your ministries? We always struggle with that. Come to Christ. Come to Christ. He is able to resolve all the problems because he paid the price for you. And he not only paid the price, he was there at the right hand of Almighty God and plead for you. Forgive that sinner. And he not only pleaded with God, but also even pleaded with man to forgive you. Trust Christ. Trust God. He is able to save us. He is able to relieve us from all those troubles. And now he said, refresh my heart. Refresh my heart, Philemon. Refresh my heart, Onesimus. We need to pray for peace in this world. We need to pray for peace in our personal life. We need to pray for reconciliation. If you are one like Onesimus, offended someone in the church or in your family, trust the Lord. Confess your sin to the Lord first, and then go to the one who offended, you offended. Trust the Lord, just as Jacob, he was struggled. He doesn't want to go back to his brother Esau, but eventually he had to trust God. And he put himself in God's hand. His brother forgave him. Trust God when you truly, as Onesimus, you see, he had faith. Otherwise, he would not go back. He may fear that his master will kill him or put him into prison. He had faith. He is a true believer. As Paul said him, as Paul said, I will pay, I believe Onesimus also. And we also, if we in any way wrong others, brothers or sisters, all the family members. We need to confess our sin. We need to resolve to pay the price, to acknowledge the justice of God. But if you are on the other side, if you are the one who was offended, like Philemon, you need also know the heart of Christ. You need also acknowledge that you are also a sinner, forgiven, saved by grace. You need to hear the word of your Lord. He said, I want some benefit. You were useless in the past. You were sinners. You were troublemakers. Now I want you become useful. Give me some benefit. Refresh my heart. I know that you have all the reasons not to put off all this enmity, hostility, but in the Lord, we would be able to put off. Or if you are someone like Paul, you won't bring two brothers together, you won't bring two sisters together, you won't bring two family members together, you also need to trust the Lord. You can't trust your own strength. Yes, we can learn a lot of knowledge from the world, from the counseling courses, programs, yes. But we still need the Lord, because only in the Lord, because only the Lord Jesus paid the debt, paid the price completely, successfully. He said, it is done. Before God, he gained that redemption for us. That's why we need always turn to Christ. We need Christ. If we have burdens for all those wars in the world, if we have burdens with my family members, with my little children, they fight constantly, we need to bring them to Christ. We need to bring them to Christ. We need to preach the word of Christ. We need to preach the gospel of Christ Jesus. This is the most needed message of this day and age. This is the most powerful message this world needs. But not only preach the gospel, but live it out. Live it out as Onesimus confess, repent, or as Philemon, forgive, receive. Paul was so confident because he knows this is the power of God. This is the power of Christ. Let us also, in Christ Jesus, to preach this gospel, to live out this wonderful testimony of reconciliation in Christ Jesus. So when the world look at us, they will see we are also broken like them, but we are one in Christ Jesus. What a glorious testimony. Not us, but Christ. Just like verse 6 said, for the sake of Christ, by the power of Christ, and in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your forgiveness. We confess that we are all sinners in Adam. Yet by grace and mercy, you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, into this world to save pitiful sinners like us. In many ways, we are like Onesimus. In many ways, we are like Philemon. We struggle. We cannot put down. We have many sleepless nights. Yet, Father, we thank you that we have a power in Christ Jesus. May all your children come before you to seek that relief, to seek that power, to seek that reconciliation, that we may be all one in Christ Jesus, that we would have this unity and harmony in Christ Jesus, because you have given us this love, and we would be able to love one another in Christ Jesus. For his name's sake we pray. Amen.